Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go on a Monday, live in busy Los Angeles. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, FS1, where Colin was wrong, where Colin was right. Top of next hour, it is officially Super Bowl week. Brady against Mahomes. Get to that in about 5-6 minutes. Joy Taylor is joining me. We got big NFL franchise moves here. Incredible!
I mean, just on a Saturday night, that's what we're doing now? The swapping franchise quarterbacks?
I'm drinking coffee on a Saturday night, figuring out, what am I going to watch? Pow! I couldn't believe it.
Unbelievable.
So let's talk about it. Like, this doesn't happen, right? I want you to think about this. Let's frame Jared Goff to the Lions, Matt Stafford to the Rams. Let's frame this. From the Los Angeles side. Not because I live here, because of what happened. They use 6 draft picks, most of them great picks, to move up to get Goff. And then they gave away 3 draft picks, 2 first rounders, to get rid of him. 9 draft picks. The whole time they paid him. This year they'll have $22 million of dead money. In fact, Jared Goff is a larger cap hit to the Rams this year than their starting quarterback, Matt Stafford. And you ask, what the hell are they doing? This is about Sean McVay. That tells you how much confidence and how much belief Stan Kroenke, the owner, and Les Snead, to a lesser degree, have in Sean McVay. You do not do this unless you've got what you believe is the next Bill Walsh. You do not surrender 9 picks, pay a guy a fortune, and take a $22 million cap hit for a guy that's in another uniform. This is about McVay, the belief in the building. We got the right guy. We built a good roster. The quarterback just doesn't work. And I'm going to give you the day. I'm going to give you the day it happened. Many people will say, oh, they lost to the Jets. That was the day. Remember the loss to the Dolphins? Miami had 8 first downs, and they still beat him because Goff had, as you recall, 4 turnovers. No. You know, everything closer to home is more personal. You lose to the Jets, you don't talk about them. You're not in the same division. You lose to the Dolphins, they're down in, it's a 5-hour flight away. Boas said this, when your brother lives next to you and he gets a new car every year, that stings. Who lives next to Sean McVay and the Rams? NFC West, San Francisco 49ers. Kyle Shanahan is the only thing in the way of best young coach in the NFL is Sean McVay. Oh, wait, it's Kyle Shanahan. He beats him head-to-head. Same division. They lost on November 29th to Kyle Shanahan, McVay's coaching rival, the 49ers, with Nick Mullins. Nick Mullins came down to Los Angeles, and all relationships have breaking points. You've been in one, I've been in one. There's a moment, there's a bad dinner, he's inconsiderate, she's mean, it's a breaking point. November 29th, Nick Mullins and Kyle Shanahan beat Jared Goff and the Rams because Goff has 2 picks and a fumble at home. McVay was furious, for the first time publicly ripped Goff. And after that game, on the drive home in Los Angeles, McVay gets on the phone and he calls Les, and Les says, call Stan Kroenke. And he says, Stan, do you believe in me? Because we've hit a ceiling. We can't win big. I got you to 1 Super Bowl. I can't get you to another. Matt Stafford's on the market. The Niners may have him. Niners wanted him, by the way, too. So this is all about Sean McVay, November 29th, losing to division rival, coaching rival Shanahan, who beat him with Nick Mullins. Won the Jets loss. It won the Dolphins loss, and those didn't help. But in that moment, McVay made a decision and used his power. He's got it, and he deserves it. He's a hell of a young coach, but he used it in that moment. You do not take a $22 million cap hit for a guy not in your roster and trade 9 picks, most great, and pay a guy unless you have Belichick-level trust and belief in your coach. The second part of this, of course, is Matt Stafford. Oh, he is wildly talented. I'm over it. You got to win more games. Arm, yes. Athlete, pretty good. Here's the key, and I'm a little cynical. The one time in his career he's had a top 10 defense, he went 11-5. He now has a top 2 defense and Cam Akers and good receivers and a good coach. It's time for Matt Stafford to deliver. I heard forever Tracy McGrady was amazing. It's the next MJ. Yeah, MJ won. And MJ didn't always have the right coach and the right teammates. It's time for Matt Stafford to deliver. Am I a little cynical? Yeah. Do I think he's better than Goff? Yeah, better athlete, better arm. No question. But here's a big part of this. When the LA Rams made this move, the odds on Fox Bet went from 18-1 to 13-1 to win the Super Bowl. And more importantly, because this is more realistic, the Rams went from third place in their division to first place odds in their division. It was a belief in McVay and a feeling they'd hit a ceiling. And now, Matt Stafford, I'm rooting for you. I think you'll be better, but prove me wrong. I've been hearing about your talent for years. Okay, so this morning I am driving to work after your typical restless night's sleep. I cannot sleep. And Brady and Mahomes is the Super Bowl. And I'm thinking to myself, Tony Romo has a quote here. This is going to be LeBron facing Michael and Jack Nicklaus against Tiger Woods. And I thought about this. Tom Brady's the GOAT, right? But let's be honest about it. It's due to his accomplishments. He doesn't have the arm of an Elway. He can't run around like Aaron Rodgers. He's not as cool as certain guys like Mahomes. But he is the GOAT because the dude just wins all the time, even when he's behind late in Super Bowls. But remember a few years ago when Aaron Rodgers, with one Super Bowl, there was real discussions, 5-6 years ago. He's the GOAT. And you're like, whoa, time out. Brady's got 4. He can't have 1. And Brady's got 4, and you're the GOAT. But a lot of legitimate people and media people bought into it. Why? Because Aaron Rodgers throws like a GOAT should throw. And he moves like a GOAT should move. And he plays stylistically like a GOAT should be at quarterback. I mean, Bill Russell, let's be honest, has 11 rings, almost double Michael Jordan. We never even considered him the GOAT. Why? Because aesthetically, stylistically, he didn't even look as good as Wilt. I mean, MJ came along, won half the titles of Bill Russell. But when you watched MJ play, he was cooler. Hang time, the hands, the style, the mid-range jumper, the toughness, the guile, that's what a GOAT should look like. So we didn't care about overall titles. I mean, I'll be honest with you. If you want to talk the greatest basketball player ever, I can make an argument. It's Kareem. I looked it up this morning. Kareem's got more points than MJ, more MVPs than MJ, more finals appearances, also 6 titles, more all-star games, and was a more dominant defensive player. But come on. Style. Kareem didn't have it. So when I look at Mahomes, I thought about this morning. If Patrick Mahomes wins Sunday, his second, and he beats Brady head-to-head, there will be arguments to be made he's the GOAT. Because he plays like a GOAT. He throws like the GOAT. He's cool like the GOAT. He's better from behind than he is leading. That's very GOAT-ish. And so if he beats Brady Sunday, and I think he will, there will be legitimate people who entertain the GOAT conversation. We never really even talked about this stuff. I never heard the term used until MJ. Were sports radio hosts in the 60s getting into Wilt Russell GOAT talk? I mean, I know radio was around in the 60s. I don't think sports talk was. But there's a way, in our mind, we think greatest looks and plays a certain way. It's not Russell. It's more Wilt. It's not Bird. It's more MJ Cool. And it's not Brady. It's more Mahomes and Rodgers. And so if he wins Sunday, I think you're going to hear it. And I think if he wins a third, that will be enough for half the people, legitimate people, to say, no, it's Mahomes. That left-handed, doesn't look, moves around, 80 yards, that's the GOAT. And I'll entertain those. Don't have to agree with them, I'll entertain them.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Matt Stafford reportedly told, this is funny, told the Detroit Lions, I'll go anywhere, don't you dare trade me to New England. He's 33 and he wants to win. Why wouldn't he want to go to New England? Now, everybody immediately assumes, oh, it's Matt Patricia. Matt Patricia isn't even a coordinator there. He's like going to be a consultant. He's not even a coordinator in New England. I mean, maybe it would be weird to be in the building, but I don't know. It didn't seem like Matt Patricia ever had a problem with Matt Stafford. I think he liked him. He had a problem with Darius Slay. He had a problem with other guys. This is about the system not being nearly as attractive when Tom Brady's no longer part of the system. Everybody always considered this a great job. Oh, my God, you got to play for New England and Belichick. A system's unbelievable. But Belichick now controls personnel, and they can't draft skill people. And it's cold, and it's outdoors, and they got no weapons, and they don't spend big money on free agency because they want everybody to take a pay cut. Isn't it funny how attractive the Patriots job looked as a quarterback when Brady was there? And Brady leaves, A, B, they start losing, C, Matt Stafford's like, I'll go anywhere but New England. Tom bought into the system. It's like Tim Duncan with the Spurs bought into Popovich. Once Duncan left, Kawhi Leonard said, this isn't interesting at all. This guy's old and rigid. I don't like him. You need the star player to buy into the system. Take a pay cut. Go to similar age guys and sell them on the system. Folks, you take Brady out of the system, Matt Stafford's like, last place I want to go. It's like you take gambling out of Vegas, it's just Phoenix with fewer old people. It's just too damn hot 5 months a year. So I think it's interesting that of all the places, you know, since Belichick in the last 8 to 10 years has taken over personnel, they just don't draft as well. Find their stars. And I thought this was interesting. One of the things, I wrote about this in my first book. There's a story behind the story. And Joy and I's job, I think Joy's does it as well as anybody I've ever worked with. People can say things, but what are they really saying? So last Wednesday, Tom Curran, best reporter in Boston on the Patriots, suddenly reported, out of the blue, Patriots will reportedly be, quote, uncharacteristically aggressive this offseason. It's interesting. How did that get out? Things get out of New England when New England wants things to get out. Why did that story leak? Because they were in trade talks to get Matt Stafford. And the Rams were in trade talks to get Matt Stafford. And Matt Stafford's agent told him. And the Patriots, knowing the Rams are a go-for-it franchise, Jalen Ramsey, Brandon Cooks, they are a go-for-it franchise. They'll bring free agents in. They don't care. Stafford like, oh, I like that. Oh, I like that. And the Patriots don't. So the Patriots leaked it. Oh, this year's different. Oh, no, no. The old way isn't out. We're going to be uncharacteristically aggressive. They were in a fight to get Stafford. And they knew Stafford was a preferred L.A. where they've got an offensive coach, where the weather's better, and it's a go-for-it franchise that makes deals and pays players and never has a problem paying players. They'll give you draft picks all day, but they'll pay players. They'll pay Ramsey. They'll pay Donald. They paid Gurley. They paid Goff. They pay Cooper Kupp. They'll pay guys. So the story behind the story. That system, it's funny when Tom leaves. Danny Amendola was on First Things First this morning.
When you see Patriot Way in the dictionary, it's going to have Tom Brady's name next to it. None of those coaches threw any passes. None of those coaches caught any passes. None of those coaches made any tackles. They got guys in the right position because they watch a lot of film and they spend all their time at the facility. But Tom Brady is the Patriot way, and that's the reason why Tom Brady's in the Super Bowl right now, and the Patriots aren't.
Yeah, that's kind of harsh. And remember, I'm always considered a Patriot homer. But when that story leaked last Wednesday to the best Boston Patriot reporter, why did it get out? They were fighting for Stafford with the Rams and others. And Stafford smartly chose the franchise with an offensive coach, with a rich owner that will spend big money to get their quarterback help.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Scott Pioli was the GM, 3 Super Bowl champions with the Patriots. He was a 5-time executive of the year. He now works for the NFL Network over 27 years in the front office. You don't win executive of the year 5 times unless you know what you're doing. And by the way, he left New England a while ago, and their drafting has not been the same. Let's be honest. We've been on this now for 4 years. The last 10 years, they don't have an offensive Pro Bowler at a skill position. Scott joins us live, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. So I want to talk, Scott. First of all, thanks for coming on the show. Thank you so much for doing that. I love that. Thank you, Scott.
No, thank you for having me, Colin. Great to be here.
It's interesting. All my friends, Saturday night, we're all on FaceTimes. We're going crazy on this trade. And everybody's like, man, they gave up all these first-round picks. But it's interesting. If you look at the scouting department for the Rams, they have done a really good job. Second, third, fourth, fifth, starters everywhere. So it tells me, A, they were over Goff, but it also tells me the Rams have incredible confidence in their scouting department to give up first-round picks. That's my takeaway on it. What was your takeaway on it?
Well, I think that they had to give away the picks in the first place because in order to unload that contract, the Goff contract, you were going to have to give up a lot in return. So they've done a good job. They've had to use all methods of player acquisition, Colin. So, yes, they've done a fair job in the middle rounds and in the second round, third round. They've done a fair job. But, again, let's remember the best player on their football team was a first-round pick in Aaron Donald back in 2014. So it's a dangerous way to build your roster. They trust their system. But we're going to see how this goes. You know, part of the fact is they keep going in, right? In 2018, the Rams had to go all in and make some trades and sign some free agents, spend a lot of cash in order to get players and make some trades. So as much as they have confidence in their drafting acumen, I think that there's also this realization that they have to go outside of the draft to acquire players that are going to be good enough to help them win, you know, or compete for a championship.
Now, listen, we know Matt Stafford's talented. He was the number one high school player. He was great at Georgia. I watched him for 3 years. I've watched him in the NFL. But I said this last week. There are players that I hear about their talent. I used Tracy McGrady in the NBA. I heard for years he was better than Kobe. He was better than Michael. And I'm like, he never won a playoff series. Chris Paul aesthetically didn't have the glamour, the hops. Chris Paul just wins everywhere. At some point, you got to win games. Stafford is talented, but Scott, I'm over it. Okay, I got 12 years, 4 winning seasons. I'm not even asking him to beat Aaron Rodgers or the Super Bowl. Just beat the Bears. And Scott, I'm a little worried he has struggled to win big games. Is that a fair criticism?
It's a fair question. I don't know if it's a fair criticism yet because we're going to find out in the next couple of years whether or not it's an actual fair criticism. Because, again, if you look at some of the dysfunction that has existed in Detroit, and that's not, you know, trying to cover up all of the mistakes that Matthew has made at different times. He is a very talented quarterback. I think he's a winner as a person. I think he gets it. Everything that I've seen of him, I think he has a chance. He has had a lot of difficulty in terms of the team he's been surrounded with. And again, also, Colin, the truth is stability within an organization is such a critical thing, especially for young quarterbacks. And a lot of his youth was wasted by a lot of instability. So, again, I hear the questioning and the criticism, but I think we're going to find out right now real soon.
So, you know, there's always been this. I remember talking, Scott Pioli joining us, 5-time exec of the year. There was this. I talked to a college athletic director once, and he said, listen, if my coach wants another job, I don't want him in the building. And I thought, well, you got a contract. Keep him in the building if he's a great coach. And I think to myself, Deshaun Watson's like out. He is emotionally gone. You if you ran that franchise, do you just try to save it, get four first round picks and a good player? Do you want him in the building?
I try to save it, Colin. I mean, I try to save the player and keep the player. Because, again, you just made a really important point. You know, 6 months ago, Deshaun Watson signed a contract. He consciously made a decision to be with an organization that had leadership at the top in terms of ownership and the other leaders, that he accepted a contract to make him the second highest paid player in the history of the game. So, again, those are the rules of engagement in the National Football League. He signed the contract, you know, as Hyman Roth said in Godfather 2, this is the business we've chosen. This is the choice that he made. This is the business he's chosen. Those are the rules of engagement. You don't say, do over. I want out now. Now, I say that from a business perspective, but then there's the reality and the nuance of the relationship. And I know David Culley. I know Nick Cassero. I hired Nick Cassero in 2001 as an entry-level scout. David and Nick are two of the finest people I've met in my 27 years in the National Football League. Deshaun Watson is also one of the most incredible people. I think and I hope that at some point Deshaun gets a grip of his emotions and says, let me show a little bit of grace here because I have this obligation. Let me see if I can coexist with this new leadership. Because it sounds to me, Colin, that his beef is with the people that are outside of Nick and David. And truthfully, the people that have the greatest influence over him and this franchise in the coming years are Nick and David Culley. So that's my quick take on it.
Scott Pioli joining us. I've had this theory for years. Joy always laughs at me. I say, the male ego ruins dynasties. You know, everybody wants credit, and you know, that's just the way it works, right? It's everybody gets rich, and now everybody wants credit. I saw the Lakers. You know, you got Riley and Phil Jackson and Jerry West, and they're all brilliant. And you know, you see, it just blows up. So I look at New England, and I know Belichick's great. I'm not disputing that. But the more they've won, the more power he's exerted in personnel. And it's impossible to be a great GM and a great coach. They're just two incredibly difficult jobs. And I look at Matt Stafford, according to a story saying, I'll go anywhere except New England. And I think to myself, Scott, Brady made that system look really darn nice. But you take Brady out of it, and it's cold, and it's outdoors, and they don't spend big money, and they have no weapons. Do we have to be a little honest here? We know Belichick's great. I'm not disputing that. But he has too much damn power in that organization now, and he needs to relinquish some of it.
You know, it's interesting. I want to go back to the first part of what you were leading into, Colin. Is one of my favorite sayings of all time is success has many fathers and failure is an orphan. I think when JFK said it, he said failure is a bastard. But there's so much truth to that. And keeping egos in check and keeping people and I'll tell you this, for this franchise, for what they've done, I know people are trying to make this now, was it Bill, was it Brady? And to me, I hate hearing that conversation because it was one of the greatest runs in the history of sports. And to me, it's insulting to both of the parties involved to get into that conversation. Was it more Bill? Was it more Brady? And why can't we just embrace that it was one of the greatest partnerships? This is the most team-oriented game, I believe, in all of sports.
Yeah.
And to force people, you know, again, I don't mean to digress here, but this is one of the greatest problems we have in our country is the divisiveness. And why can't we just enjoy and embrace the unity that was something special and just say, hey, you know, they both served one another so well. Bill is the greatest coach of all time. Tommy's the greatest quarterback of all time, and just leave it at that.
I wouldn't have a show then. Jeez, Dave, Scott. I wouldn't have content.
Yeah, you would. You're too smart. Come on.
All right. Scott Pioli, NFL Network analyst. Pleasure to have you on the show. I'd love to have you on again. Thanks so much, Scott.
Please do, Colin. I'd love to be back. Thank you.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
All right, we do this thing every Monday. Colin right, Colin wrong. I'm plenty of both. Here we go.
Where Colin was right.
We've been saying this now. The Rams, Stan Kroenke's greenlighting all of this. LeBron's in town and winning. The Dodgers are rolling. LA's never had more quality teams. Even the Clippers are good now. What did they do this weekend? They outdueled the Niners, the Colts, the Patriots reportedly. The reality is, this is Stan Kroenke. Spent about $4 billion more in the stadium than he wanted, and they couldn't put any people in it this year, and he has told the organization, I'm not finishing third and fourth in this market. We're the NFL. We're going to win this market. And this is a real thing inside the building. It's the reality of being in a market with LeBron and being in a market with the Dodgers is that you got to win in Los Angeles. Nobody can afford three season tickets. And they were hyper aggressive, as we predicted.
Where Colin was right.
Matt Stafford said, I'll go anywhere but New England. Now, I love the Patriots style, but I've said now, over the last year, you take Brady out and the system's not as attractive. I said for years, when Brady leaves, New England will no longer be a topic on our show day in, day out. Now, part of it is this year, Brady's so great, they were so bad. They have no weapons. Belichick tends to have a fairly rigid system. They don't spend on free agents. And this goes to show you that quarterbacks, don't give me this Matt Patricia thing, quarterbacks want weapons. Peyton Manning chose Denver, they had weapons. Brady chose Tampa, they had weapons. Tampa wasn't a winning franchise, they had weapons. Stafford wants to throw to great players. He's been unable to, mostly outside of Calvin Johnson in Detroit, and New England's not attractive when you take out Tom because they don't have anybody else on offense.
Where Colin was wrong.
Listen, I defended Jared Goff for 2-3 years. I thought he was going to be in L.A. forever. I think he's a good kid. I don't think he's needy. I've said I think he reminds me of Matt Ryan, but throws a better deep ball. He won a ton. He got to a Super Bowl. He was 42-20 with Sean McVay. I don't know what happened this year. He lost a lot of confidence. His fumbling got really, really bad. That Dolphins game where Miami had 8 first downs and beat them, they lose to the Jets. I don't know if it's confidence. I don't know what it was. It wasn't just a broken hand. They benched him essentially up in Seattle. They benched him for a game. And so I'm wrong on that. I thought he was going to be around for a long time.
Where Colin was right.
The Texans was not going to get filled, I kept saying. It's a bad job. Eric Bieniemy, do not take the job. Reality is David Culley's a nice guy, but you don't hire a 64-year-old, 65-year-old that's never even been a coordinator if he's really the top guy on your list. That he's not. He accepted the job. He wasn't going to get a head coaching job, and this is what he's going to get. Now, you know, who knows what happens with Deshaun Watson? It'll be hard not to win some games, but this now feels like a cult. The stories out of Houston make this a completely undesirable job, and you can have a great quarterback. That's fine. But in the end, you cannot win in this league if 16 out of 16 weeks, you have worse schemes and worse coaching. And Houston now can almost guarantee that.
Where Colin was wrong.
The Sixers are 14-1 when Embiid and Ben Simmons play together. I've never thought it works. Embiid now is playing like the MVP of the league. Simmons always gives you about the same numbers. But Doc Rivers has helped because Tobias Harris used to be a Clipper. And right now, Tobias Harris is playing great basketball. He's averaging 20-plus, and he was always about a 16-17-point-a-game player. So the Doc Rivers thing is working. Embiid and Simmons are working. And, you know, I'll say this about Doc Rivers. I should never doubt him. Doc Rivers, that Boston championship team had a lot of egos. Rondo was prickly, and Garnett was the man, and Paul Pierce had been the man, and here comes Ray Allen. He just made it work. There are certain coaches, Joe Torre of the Yankees had this. There's a fatherly kind of a respect. They're like the stepdad that you don't want to tick off, you know? And there's something about Doc Rivers making it work in Philadelphia, 14-1 when Embiid and Simmons play.
Where Colin was right.
Seattle's offense, players don't like it. I've been told that multiple times the last 2 years about Pete Carroll's offense. And last week, DK Metcalf came out and said, we run, pass. We run, pass. Teams figured us out. That is the second Seahawk player who I've heard from that has said they're getting bored. They don't feel their schemes are up to par. And now players are saying it publicly. Russell Wilson's just too nice. He'll say nice things, go Hawks. DK Metcalf, not so nice, brutally honest, called out Seattle.
Where Colin was right.
You cannot win with KD, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden. You got to move Kyrie. He's a terrible defensive player. The Brooklyn Nets last night gave up 149 points to Washington. It didn't go to overtime. That was regulation. Last 8 games, 7 of them, they've given up 123 points or more. Listen, it's not all about talent in this league. KD and Harden with good supporting players can win the East. I have no doubt in my mind. But the idea that Kyrie and Harden are going to work, they're both terrible on the defensive end, and everybody is exposing them.
Where Colin was wrong.
You know, I'm wrong on this one. I always say Aaron Rodgers feels more California cool than Milwaukee or Green Bay. You know, he dates celebrities. He's got all the national commercials. He's the hipster. I'm wrong. A video has surfaced with Aaron Rodgers in the back of a pickup truck with a case of Bud Light and has confirmed it's him. My bad. That is the most Green Bay, Milwaukee, Midwest thing ever. I will never reference California again despite his Malibu house. Aaron has said yes. Yes, this is me. Can you imagine driving around Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers in the back of a pickup truck?
I can't say I imagine that visual, no.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, Schrager, Fox Sports NFL reporter. What a crazy weekend. What a nutty weekend. So let's start with this. 5 days ago, people are like, yeah, you'll never get rid of that Goff contract. Okay, that's over. So how did it go down, Stafford and Goff?
Let's start in Cabo San Lucas, of all places here, Colin. Sean McVay watched the NFC and AFC championship games from Cabo San Lucas at a high-end resort. That's where he was hanging out when all of a sudden the phone starts lighting up and action starts happening. And Sean McVay actually did his business from a villa in Cabo this whole week. He's actually flying back right now as we speak. That's where all this went down. It just shows you how bizarre this season has been. And really, McVay and Goff, it had come to an end. There was nowhere else they could really go unless they started from bare bottom and said, we have to rebuild this thing. And when Stafford made it known to Detroit that he wanted to be available, McVay went to their front office and said, can we at least inquire? Can we see what's going on? And they had a connection. And the connection between Stafford and McVay is one of those deals where it's like, relationships are everything. So Sean McVay was a high school quarterback. His main rival was a young man named Chad Hall, who was a high school quarterback at the rival school. Two of them became great friends. They go on their careers. Chad Hall goes to the Air Force Academy, plays a couple years in the NFL, and is now the coach of the wide receivers for the Buffalo Bills. Just so happens, Chad Hall and Sean McVay are still very good friends. Chad Hall's sister is Kelly Stafford. She used to be known as Kelly Hall. So these guys have rolled in the same circles for a long time, and Stafford and McVay have had a great appreciation for each other. McVay said, let's call it up. Let's figure out what happened. Just so happens, Brad Holmes, who's now the GM of the Detroit Lions, was part of the front office with the Rams who drafted Jared Goff, feels very affectionately for Jared Goff, and they wanted to make sure that this did not end in Detroit for Matt Stafford like it ended for Calvin Johnson or Barry Sanders or so many other disgruntled Lions on the way out. And they said, where does Stafford want to go? Stafford made his voice heard. He believed the Los Angeles with McVay would be a great connection. So everybody in this deal seems to come out okay. The only question is Jared Goff happy from going from sunny Los Angeles to now playing in Detroit in a rebuilding situation? He says he's excited to be wanted. He wants to be loved. He will be loved in Detroit by that front office and that coaching staff. But McVay, Stafford, both teams seem to be very happy this morning.
You know, I'm going to give you my theory on it. There's a lot of moments in the year where Goff was over it. But that November 29th game against the 49ers, and that's his rival Kyle Shanahan, and that's their rival, the 49ers, and Nick Mullins beats them, and Goff has fumble issues and pick issues. And after the game, McVay criticized Goff, and we'd never heard that. And I kind of feel like Schrags, it just never got better. It was irreparable. That game, it's one thing to lose to the Niners and Garoppolo, but at home to Nick Mullins, and I just thought, if you went back and looked at the quotes, and I did this morning, it just never, it even went public. I mean, you tell me, did it happen week 5, week 8? Was there a moment, an epiphany?
I think it was a culmination of things, and this isn't fair to Jared Goff. Jared Goff beat the Seattle Seahawks in Seattle with 9 fingers and a broken thumb and played valiantly in that game and then completed 21 of 26 against the Packers in Lambeau and nearly beat Aaron Rodgers. So what one person's perspective is different from another's. To McVay, this is a significant, significant upgrade. I don't think he and Jared Goff had anything left to do, and McVay moved on from him. And once Sean McVay turned on Goff, that was it.
Yeah.
And it was, now he was in aggressive mode. So the game, the pinball, I don't know, but the fact that they had to rely on their defense and play conservative football, knowing the way that Sean McVay calls a game and wants to call a game, and there was no vertical passing, and there were so many turnovers even with that, I think that was the main reason. But let it be known, around the league, Colin, people like Jared Goff. And there were suitors to the Rams who were calling about Jared Goff because he's a 25-year-old quarterback who's been to the Super Bowl, who, by the way, has beaten Russell Wilson in his building in the playoffs and Drew Brees in his building in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And he is no slouch. There is a market for Jared Goff, and the Lions, from everything I heard from the Lions side, because I spoke to their side also. It's not just McVay feeding me stuff. I spoke to the Lions side. Jared Goff was a key piece to this deal. They believe in Jared Goff, and at least for the 2 years they got him under contract, he's going to be the guy.
What does this trade mean for Deshaun Watson in Houston?
Yeah, it's funny because everyone immediately says, who's next and what do we do with Watson? I think it's very unrelated. Matt Stafford was a 33-year-old quarterback who had gotten to the end of the line with Detroit and was looking for another home. Deshaun Watson is a transcendental, or is that even a word? I don't know. A transcendent talent, a top five quarterback in this league. And whereas Detroit was looking to make things right with Matt Stafford and end that thing on a good note and send him on his way so they can start their rebuild, I am told from very good sources, Houston has no interest in trading Deshaun Watson. So when Deshaun Watson said he requests a trade, it might have to get a little uglier than that for Deshaun Watson to get out of there. He might have to refuse to ever wear that uniform again for that to start happening. Once he makes that comment, it both A, limits Houston's leverage a little bit on this thing, but B, it also will start the floodgates. Trust me, every team has called Houston that you would imagine. Everyone's inquired. Nick Caserio, who's the new GM, and Jack Easterby, who's kind of in that front office. And of course, the owner, they have no interest right now in trading Deshaun Watson. They want to make that thing work. They want to make that right. It's whether Deshaun Watson ever wants to wear that jersey again.
Wow. That's intense. You know, it's funny, Shregs, because I've said this about the NBA. The player can't win. Carmelo Anthony was honest about it in Denver, and we crushed him. Dwight Howard was honest about it in Orlando. He wanted to leave. We crushed him. LeBron did it quickly and left for Miami, and we crushed him. The players can't win. The bottom line, once you went out, the fans bail on you. Let me ask this, though. Obviously, the Jets could work because they could give you Darnold and the two pick and a bunch of picks. I think the Raiders is interesting. Gruden's got more power than anybody in the league because of his contract. Derek Carr, Darren Waller, 5 first-round picks. Is there just a team that you, if I said to you in 2 weeks, Shregs, somebody pulled it off. Is there a team maybe that fits?
I mean, the Jets have the draft capital, and I can tell you that everyone would love to have Deshaun Watson. This is not news. It's whether the other team works. I'll tell you this. Carolina came with a very good offer, and that was for Matt Stafford.
Wow.
Okay, a very good offer. When I'm talking top 10 pick, potential Teddy Bridgewater, another future first-round pick, and it more came down to Stafford wanting to be in Los Angeles than anything. I think the deal that Carolina likely offered was far better from a football standpoint, if you're looking at that, unless Detroit really does love Jared Goff more than they would a Teddy Bridgewater or a number 7 overall pick or a number 8 overall pick, which is what they would have if they had made that trade. So Carolina was aggressive in this thing. David Tepper, their owner, just hired a new general manager, but he, Matt Rhule, and Fitterer, who's the new general manager, they're trying to start something new there. They're trying to build it, and they're going to be aggressive. But everyone thinking that the 49ers or the Jets are going to make some crazy trade, I think those teams would definitely like to have a Deshaun Watson conversation. And you think about Kyle Shanahan and how he would use Deshaun Watson, it's next level. I just don't see Houston trading him until Deshaun Watson makes a statement and says, I will never, ever play for this team again.
18 inches of snow in New York City today. Oh. You can't see it, but Schrager, I imagine, is looking out to your right and you're seeing a blizzard. Is that what you're looking at right now?
Yeah, I'm looking at a blizzard, and I'm thinking about Sean McVay doing business from a villa with his fiance in Cabo San Lucas, and I'm feeling a little bit sour about that situation.
Yeah, you know what? It just takes a flight. Get on a flight out here. We'd love to have you, Schrager. It's very nice out in L.A. Good seeing you.
Hey, Colin, congrats on the award. You, Joy Goulet, but I also would shout out guys like Alex Rosenbaum and everybody on the production team who I work with on a day-to-day basis for this show. You've one of the best teams in all of sports television. And you guys deserve it on the radio side as well.